When God wakes you up in the middle of the night, don't put it off till 12 o'clock the next day. Get your lazy backside up and go do what God told you to do. You're not important enough for God to wait on you. If he says it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you go pray for somebody and you put it off till 12, you may be going to a funeral. Timing is everything with God. He spaced everything in the book of Genesis on timing. He was explicit about his timing, and he kept a ledger of what he did every day. God, somebody help me preach. Some of you people, time's not important. You're late everywhere you go, and you don't get anywhere on time. That means time's not important to you. The only thing God ever gave you was time, and the way you use that time is the way he'll regard it for you. I got up that morning. Sister Dallas, you want to come finish this? I got up that morning, went out as soon as God spoke to me. Went down and had this big sign. The side of a wall was covered. $3 limit. $3 wasn't going to get my Christ off that parking lot. I went over to the man and I said, "Sir, could you fill me up?" He said, "Of course." The guy behind, in front of me saw it. He's come back. He said, "You're filling him up." He said, "Yeah, he asked for it." We didn't say you couldn't have it. You just read the sign. He read the sign and it didn't mean anything to me. Because that's for normal people. And everybody can prove to you I'm not normal. And while I stood in Hartford, Connecticut, have you ever been up there? It's a big place. A man walked over to me and he said, "Reverend Couch." I didn't know who he was, and I turned around. He said, "I was in this convention you did last July in Hartford at Brother Sam's church." And I said, "Yes." He said, "I was up in the balcony when they received the offering. I couldn't get to you." He said, "I want to give you an offering now." And he reached in his pocket and gave me 28 $100 bills. I started out with nothing but faith. On that trip, we stayed in the nicest hotels and didn't have to worry about anything. You know why? Because I didn't look at the $20 bill and let it become my God. You're looking at your situations and they're becoming your God. You think the situation's going to whip you and you almost worship it. You give it honor you wouldn't give God because you're saying this one's going to defeat me. I got news for you. God has never let anything defeat you up till now, and he's not through with you yet. I don't care what people tell you. This is the greatest time for a Christian in the world. This is the greatest time. Let them curse us. Let Los Angeles, let Las Vegas, let all those people talk about those dumb Christians. I tell you one thing. When the fire starts rolling, you're not going to be able to burn me. I'm not afraid of fire because fire can't burn fire. Some of you are facing situations. It may be medical. It may be financial. It may be relationships. Whatever it is, you need to know this. God's not through with it yet. God's not through with it yet. And the more you mess with it and the more you honor it, well, we can't go anywhere because we don't have the money. Money has become your God. Well, we can't go because she's sick. That sickness has become your God. When my wife was dying of cancer, she went to every one of my meetings. We were 11 and a half months in Detroit, and she sat in every one of those meetings and wouldn't go anywhere. And she put on her makeup and sat and smiled when she couldn't hardly sit up. Don't stay home because you're sick. Don't stay home because you're mad. You're making that stuff your God. You stand up and tell every devil out of hell, "This is my life. You're not going to rule it. You're not going to rule it. Your children don't act right." First thing you do is question yourself. What did I do wrong? Kids don't come with a book. And you got that Hammond organ, you can't find it now, but there was a book that told you what every one of those buttons was for. What to plug it into and what not to plug it in. You got this PA system. There was a book. Showed you what every button was. If you bought a car, it's got a manual. You don't have to watch the clock blink. You can actually set it. But you'll have to read the instructions. But kids don't come with instructions. You do the best you can with them. And when they grow up and they don't behave the way you want them to, remember what God promised you. If you'll raise them up in the ways of the Lord. You think my mama, a Pentecostal Holy Ghost woman, enjoyed seeing her son fall across the table dead drunk? You think my mama enjoyed the times that I'd go to Sunday school and church? And I'd be so drunk I couldn't hardly get to the front row, but I always sat on the front. And I couldn't figure out my tithes. But I was a drunk, but I made my mama pay my tithes. You think she enjoyed it? When I'd misbehave and do things wrong. But you know what my mama would do? She'd go down in the basement where that old Maytag wringer washer was. Now she'd hear that old washer go, and all of a sudden it would come like a bell out of heaven. Pastor, I didn't have the gift of interpretation, but I knew what it was. God, send your angels to my children. Send your angels to my three sons and to my two daughters. There's four preachers out of us, and the other one's a great man. We weren't ideal children. But if you quit looking at what's in front of you, quit looking at the future, and determine what destiny God is getting ready to bring to you. Quit talking about how broke you are and how sick you are and how tired you are, how unhappy you are. And rejoice in the Lord and say, God, I may be full of cancer today. I'm not, but if I was, I'd say, God, I don't care what's in my body. You've always healed me. And by your stripes, I am not going to be healed. I am healed. You've solved my family problems. You've solved my family problems. You've watched over my wife. You've protected my finances. In times of great peril, you have been there. When my faith leaves, my faithfulness to you and how you were to me up until now will hold me on. Bible says in the book of Revelations, and they that were with him were the called and the faithful. Sometimes your faith leaves you. I was praying for my wife one time, and I just got pulled over and was in a hurry to get home, and the policeman said something like 102 miles an hour. I said, I don't know. My car just registers 85. My wife had an attack. And she was literally dying. And for the first time in all of that sickness, I lost my faith. Have enough sense to know when you lose your faith. I usually ran to her and held her in my arms. And I'd say, honey, it's going to be all right. We're going to live to be really old. But this time, my faith was gone. I held her for a minute. She said, tell me I'm going to be all right. And for the first time, I couldn't say it. I wanted to, but I couldn't make myself believe it. If a man ever loved a woman, I love my wife more now than I did the first time I ever saw her. The first time I ever saw her, this eye was hanging down here and I had no face. And she was pulling the pus out of cavities in my eyes. Doctor said, I'll never see again out of that eye. It's better than the other one. I looked and I started to walk off. And I walked to the front of that car and I was driving a white Lincoln. It's got a really long front end on it. And I felt like a failure. God has a way. Those of you that think you're humble are probably not. But God has a way of getting you where he wants you to be. He don't want you to rely on you. Your great vast knowledge and your great wisdom. He wants to be your God. And he's a jealous God. And I walked away from my wife and I have never felt that bad in my life. Because up until then I thought I could do about anything. And when I walked around to the front of that car, my foot, and I feel it tonight while I tell you this, touch something soft. And I look down, and Brother Rocky, there laid a sparrow. That policeman was trying to give me a ticket, and I was paying him no attention at all. And I raised my hands and started speaking in tongues. And I run back and grab my wife, and I said, honey, it's going to be all right. She said, how do you know? I said, God said, when a sparrow fell out of heaven, he'd be there. He's right here. God, somebody praise him. You may not find your sparrow tomorrow, but there's one coming. Every problem you have, God is more anxious to solve it than you are to get it solved. Everything in your life that needs to be moved, God wants it moved more than you do. We need to take our eyes off of a lot of teachings we've received and begin to say, I'm going to stand right here. Hell can freeze over and the devil can die. But until God calls me, I'm going to stay right where I'm at. I believe he's coming back again. But before he comes back, he's going to make us perfect. My God, he's going to make us perfect in his anointing. We won't look like him in the flesh, but we'll walk like him in the spirit. Is this a Pentecostal church or what? Some of you are sitting here, had a few little money problems. First thing you did, cut your giving out. If that stuff's in, and I'm not getting ready to receive an offering, I don't even care, y'all have always been good to me. I don't even care where you give me an offering or not. If cutting your tithes and your offerings back is good, when your money's bad, why don't you wait till your house catches on fire and cancel your insurance? Why don't you wait till you go to the doctor and he says you need surgery and then cancel your insurance? You've had problems with money before. You're not smart enough to work these problems out. I'm not smart enough to work these problems out. Even Frank, as brilliant as he is, he's not brilliant enough to work these problems out for you. But I know a man. I know a man that can come into your life and he can straighten your body. I don't care if it's so bent. I don't care if it's been laying at a gate called ugly for 38 years. He can come by and heal it. I don't care if you've never walked on the water. He can let you walk on the water. I don't care if you've never had dreams and visions. He can give you dreams and visions. It's just the greatest day for Christians that have ever been. The world's making fun of us. But God told me last night, I'm going to pick me out a few of the world's greatest thun pokers, and I'm going to destroy them. Some of these folks that have made their living as an atheist and cursed Christ and got by with it. He told me last night when I laid a bed, and I'm going to prophesy this to you and you watch it come to pass. God is going to California and he's going to straighten a bunch of these people out that has been mocking him for years, and you can count that prophecy. And it'll be before the end of this year even gets closed. And God said, I'm going to show them that I am God and they can't do anything about it. God said, my people who are called by my name, you ought to have that up somewhere. My people who are called by my name, if you'll pray, I'll heal your lands. I've got news for you. I don't give a flip about what they say about the economy. God told me he would bless me and my children and my children's children. And if he don't do that, the whole book's a lie. He said, in the time when there's nothing to eat, I'll feed you. David said, I was young and am now old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed out begging for bread. I don't care if you put a Democrat in. I don't care if you put a Republican in. They don't have control of us. He's under our government. We're under his government. And that's what counts. Some of you are looking at these problems as if there's no solution. Step into the unknown. Go where you've never gone before. Trust him like you've never trusted him before. Jesus don't want a lot of more Christians. He wants some warriors. He wants some people that'll say, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. He wants some people to stand up, and you're not going to like this prophecy, but I'm getting ready to tell you something. There are going to be more Christians become millionaires out of this crisis we're facing that the world calls a crisis. I don't know what they're talking about. I'm living in the same house, driving the same car, eating better food. Y'all ain't helping me. And I don't care if you're in a car business. Well, the sales are slow. You're waiting on people to buy them. Ask God to send folks in. Turn your business over to God. Turn your business over to God. The economy never has had anything to do with us. Christians say, well, the economy's low and we're going to all go broke. Well, did you all become millionaires when it was high? What kind of thinking do we have in us? What kind of thinking do we have in us? Well, you know, they're getting ready to cut back the cheese and the milk. If that's what you have to live on, honey, you just need to let them cut it back. Come over to our house every once in a while. We'll fix you a hamburger. You go by to her house on Sundays and get the leftovers and eat a week. Some of you don't understand what I'm preaching. Jesus said, I'm dying. And he wasn't happy about it. You don't have to be happy going through the hell you're going through. Everybody says, well, you just dance a little while. There's times I don't feel like dancing, Jack. I hardly got out of bed. Don't tell me to dance. Just help me keep my faithfulness to God. Come to me and tell me how God's moved for you. Don't join in me and say, my aunt had that and she died from it.